I guess that's true. You can choose to leave.
And that's what we say about our podcast all the time. You can leave.
I say it to our listeners on at least a bi-weekly basis.
Kind of jerked my arm kind of out of its socket.
Okay. Well, don't do that.
They just like to come out. Okay. Welcome to Tunnel Talk and No Facts, All Sorry. Feelings Wrestling Podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
Who is speaking over my intro?
I didn't know you were about to go into it. I'm sorry. I was about to make an MJF joke and it didn't work.
Oh, about his shoulder. Oh, funny. Yeah. Well, I should let you do that.
Wasn't that funny, but you know.
Is it out now or is it in?
I think it's holding on by a thread, is what he said.
Oh god, yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. He said he'd still fight even if it's holding on by a thread. And I said, I don't want to see that. How's everyone doing this week? Holding on by a thread?
Yeah, I would say.
Probably. Yeah. I just watched The Babadook right before this, and that's a distressing movie.
But good. It's sad. Yeah.
It is sad. Yeah.
I mean, it's scary too, but just, you know, some sad psychology.
I had to spoil myself about the dog, but it was still not a good situation.
Yeah. Did you go to the classic website? Does the dog die? Yeah.
Yep.
Leah?
Yes.
What episode of Supernatural are you on?
Our little feature presentation at the start of the show is a little check-in. We like to call... Oh, how's your mental health this week, Leah?
I've just heard a couple things about it in the past week. Like, I've kind of thought, like, maybe she's not watching anymore, but then it becomes clear you are. So, where are you at, girl?
We're pretty deep into season two, I would say. We're cruising.
Yeah.
We're cruising at the end.
I was a little afraid that it was going to be worse than that.
That actually seems okay.
So, that's
I think we can all agree that a season and a week is normal and cool.
That's only three episodes a day.
It's when you break into two seasons a week that's real troubling.
Okay,
that's not
good. I love having a line and knowing where it is. That's fantastic. I'll just stay under that line.
Well, unless you start to kind of ride that line and inch over that line.
I'm only watching one season and 19 episodes a week, so that means I'm blooming.
Leah, did you buy a new pack of Supernatural when you said you weren't going to? Okay. We've got a couple of little housekeeping bits and bobs up front this week. So first of all, our metal card giveaway sponsored by lovely listener Tony is ongoing. You can find the link on our socials. We'll retweet it, retumble it, etc. Again, I think we are drawing next week. So if you want a pack of cards, go put your name in the hat. I think you can choose from a couple of different card types that we've described, or a couple of different packs that Tony has put together. So that's announcement number one. Announcement number two, we're excited to remind you that we are recording a bonus episode with Rich Latta from One Nation Radio next week. We are so thrilled to talk to him. If there's anything that you really want us to ask him or that you'd like to hear us discuss with him, please feel free to send us a tweet or an email or a Tumblr message or whatever this week, because we want to make sure that we talk about stuff that you guys will find interesting. In the meantime, I highly recommend going and listening to One Nation Radio and getting to know him and James before he comes to visit.
I would say their episode where Punk comes back was very enjoyable.
Yeah, they've had a couple of really good ones.
They've had a couple of really good runs between the Hangman Swerve match and the two of them laughing at Punk. I would say it's been good radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go check them out. Okay. Are we ready to talk about wrestling, which we love to do? We're good at
it. We love to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Baby, we love to do it. Okay. We are checking in this week. We're sports girls. We're checking in on the Continental Classic. So we have now had two-ish weeks of matches. I guess a week and a half. How are you guys feeling about the Continental Classic, aka our G1, we are told?
We got to get back into collision. We are missing half of this tournament.
We have missed quite a bit of this tournament, yes.
I know. I was like, oh, I got to watch it this week for Brian Danielson and Eddie for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
That's a real albatross around my neck, I'll tell you. But it should be fun, though. It'll be fun.
Yeah. We're colliders. We love to collide.
It'll be easy for us to return to our collision ways. Well, collision was mushed with Rampage this week. Is that right?
This past week.
Yeah. So what was I going to do? I was going to watch collision hours. Rampage. I couldn't do that. Although I don't think I did anything this weekend. So why didn't I?
I like the way you say it, like as though the mush together is no good. Like you're a toddler and you need like items and
that's how I feel.
Sections of the plate. Yeah.
I need one of those divided plates.
That Rampage energy is really different from a collision energy. So
I think it actually is. Like now I've brainwashed where I'm just like Rampage is actually like a great show and underappreciated, and collision is an overrated piece of shit show. Just kidding. Okay. What do you guys feel about like the kind of the structure of the Continental Classic? Like we have never seen the G1. So one of the ways that this has been presented as a more like straight sports style tournament that's different to the tournaments that we've experienced. There's no like ringside interference allowed. It's very funny that there often isn't ringside interference allowed, but somehow they're able to enforce it with the Continental
they
Classic
really
in a way
mean
I've never
it
seen
this
them
time.
Do before.
Suddenly the rules matter.
Yeah. Suddenly the rules matter, yeah.
I think, like, in a lot of ways, I like the round robin thing, and I like a lot of the people in it, so it's like there's a lot going for it, but I feel like so far they haven't given me a lot of reasons to care about the individual matches, and I was promised that a benefit of the round robin is that you can have like surprising losses because it's like cumulative. And so like you don't get knocked out with one loss. But so far, I have not seen anything very surprising.
Yeah. Yeah. I was kind of surprised that like nobody like top level has lost anything. Like, you know, like you'd expect maybe like Mox or someone to have lost one of these. But right. I assume he'll lose eventually. I mean, that's the thing is that like, when people talk about the G1, and again, I have never watched it, so I don't know if this is accurate, but like they really do talk about like that each person in the tournament is like has like clear like reasons for being there, and that you're like you pretty much start to identify who the main characters are, because it's like, oh, the underdog starting from like three losses in a row. I mean, not three. I don't know how many losses. You
how
know
many
what I mean?
You can
like,
lose.
I don't know how many you can lose, but like somebody starting from multiple losses and somehow they're coming, beating it back to win, or like the guy who came in really, really cocky and went hot and then lost it. You know what I mean? Like there's like a thing. And we don't have, this is just turning into another AEW. Well, it hasn't gotten far. It has, it's kind of early to say this.
I will say, as a lover of sports movies, you know, a la the Mighty Ducks, like,
not sports, but sports movies, yeah.
You know, like the Mighty Ducks.
The Mighty Ducks, Miracle, I think it's called. Mostly hockey films. What's the one that I love? The Cutting Edge, you know, films like this. It is true that it's like you can't, in the first round, or like the first, like it takes a while to start to be like, oh, I'm identifying what these different teams are representing and like what's going on. And I actually did think on Dynamite this week, there were some matches I wasn't interested in. But when we got to like Jay White versus Swerve, which we'll talk about in a minute, I had started to be like, oh, I'm kind of getting into this. Like I'm kind of having a good time. And then we're going to go through like some of the stuff associated with the matches from this week. But there've been a lot of like pre and post match promos that haven't shown on Dynamite. Like, we did get a promo from Eddie Kingston on Dynamite, but actually all of these promos, I was like, I'm kind of obsessed with these. Like, I think these are so fun and different than a lot of what we've gotten recently, and they felt really intense and immediate and made me be like, oh, okay, I'm interested in this thing about you.
Yeah. Yeah. Why are they not putting those on TV? Because I felt like watching the episode last night, I was like, this is so many just, it feels like grab bag matches where I don't have, like, I don't know what, like, Mox is feeling about anything. I don't know what anyone's feeling about these. And not that I need, like, an in-depth storyline, but just, like a dumb sports storyline of, like, Mox just lost the international title and he's out to prove himself, you know, or whatever. But, like, then these, like, internet-only promos are doing a great job of it. And it's like, I would love to, like, see them on TV, because right now I'm not hot enough on the product to be searching out internet promos. So, like, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see whether they start to, like, put those on TV more as you get further into the tournament and, like, you're getting, I don't know, like, snippets here and there. That, like, you know, if you see something that interests you, you can be like, oh, wait a second, I'm going to go see if they've had any other of his, like, pre- or post-match promos that I can go look at. But I really liked the ones that we watched. Yeah. So let's talk through some of the stuff that happened in the Old Classic this week. So first of all, we had Daniel Garcia losing to Claudio on Collision. He cut a couple of promos about it. I didn't do my homework because I forgot to watch these.
They were really good. I did my homework, so yeah. Okay. But
all right.
They were excellent. And I'm not usually that high on Danny Garcia. Like, he's fine, but not one of my special little guys. But he did a great job in these.
Little sweetie baby, actually. He's a little lion cub. He's just roar really small, so little from his little body.
I have heard you say that, yes.
I'll say it again. It would be my pleasure to say it to you again. I'm happy to repeat myself.
I'll say it as many times as it takes to sink it. That's what I'll need to do. I thought that both of those promos were fantastic. I really think he's underrated for how much he's improved, because this wasn't even a sports entertainer promo. Like, it wasn't the, like, dancing stuff. Like, he was just, first of all, he looked like such a cutie baby. He really looks so sweet. But he was just, like, almost the way Eddie does, where he's just conversationally, like, telling, like, confessing what's going on in his head. And he's just like, I don't know. Like, I'm not feeling good. Like, I'm, you know, I keep losing. Like, he's just talking and you're like, I would die for you.
All of these promos had, like, a much quieter energy than most wrestling promos, which really worked for me in these contexts. Yeah.
And I would say it was really nice that none of them took place in, like, under a highway or, like, on the top,
like,
of
yelling
a
skyscraper.
Day. A lot of these promos, it's like, we're just in the back lot. We're in a stairwell. A man looks exhausted, psychologically and physically beaten down, and he's accidentally telling you some of his deepest fears. It's like, my God, I dreamed of days like this.
It is what you want from, like, real life sports press conferences, which you don't get, which is a man sitting there and being like, when I look deep inside myself, I don't feel worthy. And you're just like, yeah, get into it.
We've got to stop giving PR training to some of these athletes, because they're so trained so well, so that they're just like, well, of course it was disappointing, but I'm going to work hard and I'm going to eat my vegetables and I'm going to come back tomorrow. And you're like, no, I want to see you cry.
I want to hear you say that you're not sure you can make it back tomorrow. So speaking of these promos, so Mox fought Jay Lethal on Dynamite. I don't think any of us had much of an interest in this match. Jay Lethal, unfortunately, it's like, I just see him a lot. And he's actually like, I don't want to, Tony, this is not a request. I don't think I've ever seen him cut a promo, really. And I don't want to see it. And I don't really know anything about him. Jay Lethal is just kind of usually there to just kind of fight. So there wasn't much going on. But then I watched the post-match promo with Mox, and it's Mox being like, I'm not, like, why did I do this? Like, why am I in this tournament if I look inside myself? Like, my body is broken. Like, it's breaking down. I hurt all the time. Like, you people don't understand it. Nobody understands what I'm going through. I'm depressed. All the men are saying they're depressed. And it's like, relatable kings. Finally. Finally, some people on TV telling me they're fucking depressed. Same. Me too. It was great. And it was like a pretty, yeah. I mean, he got worked up and he was like, and I'm going to fight and do my best. But it's like it was a pretty low key Mox vibe. I was really into it.
It wasn't beat poetry. It wasn't like turns of phrases.
Sense.
Yeah.
The words made
all the
sense.
Words
yeah.
in a row, all of the sentences mm-hmm. linked to each other. And you didn't have to kind of like be like, what does that mean? What does any of that mean? But I did. I mean, yeah. it was a little bit worrying at times. He was
absolutely
like, every part of my body. It hurts more than anyone would ever understand. And the doctors are just prescribing me medication after medication. Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, should you wrestle? I mean, is that
like Mox actually did such a good job at this promo that we're all like, babe, it's okay to take some time off. Like, let yourself heal. Don't.
But Mox is so, it's like, it actually is a good aspect of Mox's character that has been a little lost recently, that he's like, mentally, physically, I've never been doing worse. And mentally, I also have never been doing worse, but I must wrestle.
Yeah.
Like, it would be, like, you really buy that you're like, oh yeah, you have to be doing this thing that is destroying you. Yeah.
But that's what was good about that promo, because he was asking himself, where he was like, why do I have to do this? Like, what's behind this? And it was really good.
Yeah, like all three of these guys got into like their vulnerabilities in a really intense
their
way.
Their soliloquies.
And so did Eddie. Yeah. I mean, they were
the
really
Continental
some Shakespearean.
Classic, promos become soliloquies. I love the Continental Classic. I'm becoming a huge Continental Classic stan.
These promos are really making it. Like it's crazy that they're not on TV, because I'm like, this is the whole point. This is the point. This is what I'm here for.
Because if I had seen these like before I saw them wrestle, I would have been really invested in the matches. But last night I was just kind of like, well, it's Mox and Jay Lethal. Like, who cares? You know? So like, all I want is a reason to care when I watch the show.
Yeah. But then it is it's exciting for us that now we've seen them and the same men are going to continue to fight. But now I'm in a real mindset, a new mindset with all of these guys. Mm-hmm. Like, because I was going to say that we did see Eddie's on TV. So Eddie lost to Brody King. And then we got to see his post-match promo where he was like, why did I put my titles on the line? Like, he basically was like, is it insane hubris? Like, what possessed me to think that like, I just definitely would win? I've got an actor doing Hamlet in my head right now. And then being like, yeah, but what are you going to do? You're going to show up. You're going to fucking fight. And then Bryan Danielson was on commentary and he's going to fight Bryan Danielson next. So then Bryan Danielson did scream at me. And I was like, please, no. I really liked what Eddie did. He didn't scream at all. He was so quiet. But he really communicated some, you know, deep internal angst.
I did not enjoy Bryan Danielson yelling, but I did like him immediately reacting to that promo. I feel like we don't get that enough. That, like, there's just a guy watching the same exact promo that we're watching, like, on a screen and just being like, what the hell, Eddie? Because it also excited me, because I just really had that moment where I was like, oh yeah, they have history. They have a whole thing. I forgot about that. Because it turned into Eddie Claudio for so long that I was like, oh, Eddie really hates Bryan Danielson too. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Eddie is honestly like so good at his own continuity. Like, I feel like a lot of people like just forget, or like they don't bring up the history they have with people like good enough to remind me of it, you know? But Eddie's always got like a through line. I mean, it's mostly that he hates a lot of guys, but like for specific reasons. It's
very... Number one, God.
Yeah. One of the most hated guys. Okay. So we also had on Dynamite, Roosh beat Mark Briscoe. I don't think we have anything to say about this one. I don't think we saw any associated promos, but good for them. And I think some of the men really liked this, and I love that for them. I love when the men are happy, you know? It's just kind of the biggest thing for me.
This is one match where I didn't know who was going to win, which was exciting. And Roosh is growing his hair a little bit longer, and it covers his back knee. And I thought his hair looked great. So
his hair always looks beautiful. He has such nice curls. And maybe he takes really great care of them, but I think that he may not have to. I think he may have naturally very robust curls. So just beautiful to look at.
He posted a really aggressive selfie of him, like, feeding his daughter the other day, his infant daughter. And I just really had this moment where I was like, I love Rouge. I'm becoming a huge Rouge yeah. girl. In this time where I don't see the Young Bucks anymore, it might be Rouge. I might be going full Rouge.
Matt Jackson is going to come back and be like, what the fuck, Leah?
Like, I found a new MILF.
Using Rouge as your methadone for Matt Jackson is so funny.
I get it. I do just like, I like Rouge. I don't have like a super strong emotional attachment to him, but I'm pretty happy anytime I see him. Okay. And then as mentioned earlier, Jay White and Swerve Strickland main evented Dynamite. This match not shockingly, because like I'm interested in Jay White. I'm obsessed with Swerve. So I thought that it would be good. It was a really good match, but it also... made me really interested in Jay White in a way that I have not been once in his run at AEW. And then also just raised some questions that we're going to have to get into about just kind of like the nature of good and evil in the world of wrestling. What did you guys think about this match?
Yeah, it fucking slapped. It really did.
This was the sexiest grab bag match, like by such a long shot. It was just like, oh yeah.
Well, and I'll like say this. It's like, it didn't feel like it didn't feel as grab baggy to me because both men were coming into it. I had a little bit of an idea of like what kind of baggage they were carrying into the match, where it's like Jay White just lost this like championship, like, attempt. So he's been like slapped down and sat on. So he might be coming in with that energy, and Swerve is like coming off this huge win and this all time like great Texas death match that everyone is obsessed with, rightfully so. So it was like cool to feel like, okay, I kind of know what mindset you're in, even if I don't know that much about your relationship with each other.
Yeah.
And then they really did do good wrestling.
They really did. They really did. I like, it's one of those really funny moments where I was like, oh, that's why these are the top guys in our company that people want to be pushed. Wow.
People want them here for this reason.
I can see this.
So at the end of this match, so Swerve won this match, and we ended with this moment where it's like Swerve was kind of like laughing in triumph and left. I mean, this man was giving me... He's sneering, he's vamping, he's cackling, he's baring his teeth. I mean, you love to see it. And Jay White was in the ring on his knees, looking like, just with his hair all falling around his face in this way that I had not seen before, with this look like, I cannot believe this happened to me. I don't know what is happening with my life right now. And suddenly I was like, Jay White is baby? Jay White is baby? But the same way that you would think, like, it was a little bit, I realized today, I was like, is Jay White have a little bit of cry check energy? Where it's just like a horrible rat boy that you're just like, didn't you see this coming at all, though? You didn't think that you would just get absolutely obliterated? So I really felt a lot for him all of a sudden.
I agree. Like, I don't know, something about his face. I also thought that like the ending was like really good, because for a moment they were just a pile of dudes and I couldn't actually figure out who was pinning who for a moment. And it was only when Swerve's music hit, I was like, oh, Swerve won. And so like they really sold it for Jay to be like, what just happened? Because like I also was like, who won? I don't know. It was just a really tight ball of man.
Really tight ball of man, episode title.
There you go, nailed it.
Jay did bite the rope too, which was quite a little character note. Loved it.
Oh my God, I completely missed that somehow.
It was crazy looking. It looked insane.
A little rat man.
I love that.
A little rat man might be your methadone.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really methadone for Kyle and and the Jacksons. I'm like, yeah. I have no little rats left. In my little rat cage. Empty rat cage.
When Jay White was giving his promo afterwards, I really was losing it, because like he was just very close to the camera and his hair was crazy and his eyes were like really wild. And I was just like, you were put together so strangely. Like, your face, yeah. Very strange.
But that was it was a great promo too, where it was. Like he was being like, he had this crazy... idea where he's being like, and you're taking advantage of me because I've been in the G1, so you want me to bring respectability to your G1, but you don't think that I can hack it. Like, it was this whole thing where it was like, oh, buddy, let's just take a breath. It's okay. It's not that deep. We're just here to play and have fun. And it's like, this is a man who is about to go absolutely nuclear, and it's not going to work out good for him. It's not going to go well for him.
It's true. I liked it. I mean, I think it's good motivation for Jay White to be on his back foot.
I agree. What did you guys think about Swerve and what's going on with Swerve right now? We also got a post-match promo from Swerve.
I'm so confused about, like, people keep being like, oh, he's clearly baby-facing. And I did agree that last week's promo was a little baby-facey. But this week, I definitely didn't think, like, I thought he worked heel in that match. And that I thought the promo after was kind of heelish. What did you guys think?
Yeah, well, he was making such, like, sociopath faces. And then, I don't know, to me it was just, like, also a little bit crazy where it's, like, Swerve gets really over. People really like watching him be this, like, cruel bad guy. So that means we have to make him stop doing that and be, like, a nice boy instead. And that seems crazy to me also. I feel like... I don't know. What are we doing here, babyface-wise? What is wrestling? It's giving me an existential crisis.
I think we're all struggling a little with this question of, like, what it means to be a babyface and a heel for us and what it means in wrestling and how wrestling signifies it. And, like, I think that Swerve absolutely, like, I can see the elements of the, like, even of this post-match promo, I can see some, like, face elements, like, where it's like, you know, he's kind of toning down the, like, high drama stuff a little bit and, like, being like, you know, I believe in myself. I mean, he didn't say that, but you're getting a little bit of that energy of just like, my confidence is up and, like, I can be something. But it's like, it's also, he also is a heel because he menaced a baby. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and because like when he wins, he makes fun of the person that he wins over. And like, and that's cool. I think I just don't understand, like, less than ever, I understand, is it not okay to be a heel and be really over? Like, can you not? Yeah. I guess not, because people aren't supposed to, I guess people aren't supposed to cheer for the heel, but
this is where it's nice to have, like, Sarah and Trish on, because I think that this is something that Dave has talked about, like, somewhat recently, that, like, today's audience wants to cheer for heels. Like, they just do. And that wasn't the way it always was, that, like, one of the things that, like, signified a heel was just that they were booed. And so,
yeah,
like, that, I think maybe it is something where the audience is changing and the industry is kind of having to catch up, maybe. I think, though, if hopefully I didn't really misinterpret their reportage on what Dave was saying, but I think that's right.
It sounds right. I mean, it sounds like something that I've heard before. It was interesting to me that, like, this match ended on a note of me being like, oh, well, I don't know. That I'm like, these are both tweeners who, like, these both are men who on a TV show, I'd be like, wow, you have the stupidest ideas and you're really morally pretty dicey. But yeah, of course I want to see a lot of you on TV and call you my little baby and my little baby rat boy.
Well, and I feel like the thing is too, like, kind of like, if the audience is changing, I don't know if it makes sense to be like, well, they're getting cheers, so now they have to be good. Like, I think just, it's like audiences like being entertained now, and it's like we're all aware it's fiction. And I mean, people have always been aware that it's fiction, but I feel like even in fiction, it's like, if you're being entertaining, I'm into you. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's just like hard to map like a moral quality onto it.
And it's like we live in anti-hero culture. You know what I mean? Like, that's
not, but it's as like intensely. In real life, we hate sports cheaters, you know, like the Patriots or whatever. Like, I don't think, like, society as a whole, like, has really changed, like, how we feel about that stuff. But it's like, but yeah, when I'm watching an entertainment show to be entertained, like, yeah, I'll cheer the villain.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I don't know. Well, we haven't come to any conclusions, but we can simply move on. That's the great thing. We don't have to solve it. Was there anything else you guys wanted to say about the Continental Classic that I missed out on us talking about?
I think Danny should win.
You think Danny should win?
I think he should win. I think that would be shocking.
It would be shocking. It would be sweet. Sweet little boy. Who do you think he should fight at the end?
I have to look at his. I have to look at which the other league again. Yeah. I've already forgotten.
We love consulting our brackets. We love looking at who's in the different groups. And everyone
should be so proud of us that we actually have this written down.
Yeah.
Ooh, wouldn't it be nice if it was Swerve?
Yeah, I would watch it. And if they nuzzled, if they did his little nuzzle move.
So the options are Jay Lethal, Jay White, John Moxley, Mark Briscoe, Roosh, and Swerve. I mean,
with Swerve, you get a little comedy there at the end because Prince Nana is doing his dance, but Danny's doing his dance.
Prince Nana can't be there. Because there's no ringside.
Because there's no ringside interference. Mm-hmm. That's so true, it's Leah. Really sad.
But Prince Nana can give a promo outside making that joke. And we'll love that.
Okay, so let's move on to talking about some of the other storylines of the week, starting with a storyline that we'd all gone a little cold on. I feel back in. I'm interested to hear how you guys are feeling. It is Christian and Adam Copeland. So I'm going to recap a couple things that happened on Collision, which none of us watched. But apparently, Luchasaurus, now known as Killswitch, was fighting, I think, Dalton Castle's boys. And he was like murdering them. So Adam Copeland ran out to save them. And he concertoed Killswitch twice until he died. Afterwards, he cut a furious promo. This actually also was a great promo in which he accused Christian of being an insecure egotist and said that Christian keeps trying to light Adam Copeland's short fuse. And then he challenged him to a match in Montreal on December 6th for the TNT Championship. So then on Dynamite, Christian came out into the ring and demanded a face-to-face with Adam Copeland. That went on for a while. You want to check in about some of the stuff he said there?
It was crazy.
I was quite interested.
Pretty delightful. When he was like, could you hit his music? I want to talk to him. Like, sending his music just forces him to come out from the back.
That was such a good mental image where I was like, wow, the logic of wrestling is so... But, like, that's such a great little, like, hang a lampshade on it moment for him to be like, yes, in sports entertainment, when the music hits, of course, the man must follow. And it's like, yeah, that's logical.
And it's like, it is their signal to come out for their match, like backstage. And wrestlers are dumb. So if they started hearing their music, they probably would just go out there, right? Like, oh no, I must need to be out there. I didn't think I had a match.
I would love for someone to make that their signature thing, that they're always like hitting someone else's music and the other guy is coming out just like, what the fuck? Why am I doing this? I'm going to leave. I can't fall for this again. So Christian was like, come out. I need to talk to you. Eventually, Adam Copeland did come out, and Christian cut this long Weasley promo where he's like clearly trying to emotionally manipulate Adam Copeland by being like, you're so right. We actually have lived our whole lives together. And like, don't you remember all those nights? It was just you and me in the car and we had nowhere to be. It's just the open road out ahead of us. And all my best memories were in that car. And anyway, you're right. We definitely shouldn't fight. And I don't think that your mom would want us to, or my mom would want us to fight. Like, we've got to make it right. And then he went, of course, immediately went to hit Adam Copeland with the belt. Adam Copeland saw it coming, kicked him in the balls. Christian drops to his knees. The number of men who've been on their knees in these segments, to me, it is amazing. I love it.
And good. Cope kind of gently cradled him to his body when he fell on his knees. Yeah.
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say this entire segment was Tunnel Talk fan service.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's like, are you listening? Keep listening. Because I want to see more of what you do to interpret our desires. I loved it.
One man giving a passionate, erotic speech to another man. Did you write down here that he said on Collision that when you go to bed at night, these are the eyes you're going to picture?
Yeah, he did say that, yes. Yeah, he did.
I love to hear that. I'm staggered, frankly.
That he said, I am going to change your soul? Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's what men should be saying to each other. I am going to change your soul. When you go to bed at night, these are the eyes you're going to picture.
Which, quick sidebar, because when we talked about Swerve's promo, we really didn't get into
this. Oh my God.
The fact that he said Hangman drank his blood so they're bonded together for a long, long time.
And these are the scars that Hangman gave me that'll always be with me.
I love that, especially because it was like, it couldn't have been more gratifying that he's like, I'll always carry his mark on me and he'll always have my blood inside him and we're bonded forever. And then as like kind of an afterthought, he was like, and yeah, one time Sting put me in a coffin too. And I remember that as well. Anyway,
it was less erotic. Yeah. But it did happen.
But yeah, of course it has impacted me. It's not just Hangman. It's like, wow, big part of it, Hangman, though. So fucking sexy. That's all we want. It's just for people to be like, you have touched me body and soul.
Yeah. Like, Christian finally was the first person on the show that remembered that wrestling is supposed to be about romantic and erotic love between men. That's what's going on.
And absolutely. I really liked it because, like, this whole time it's been Adam Copeland who's been like appealing to Christian's heart, and Christian's been ducking it. And so it was just so good for him to be saying the words that you know that Cope wants to hear, like really like being like, I know that you need to hear this and I'm gonna give it to you. Yay. And the whole time as you're listening, you're like, but he doesn't mean it. He doesn't. He's gonna take it away.
But he knows all you want is to think about, yes, he's loved you his whole life. That's all he wants to hear.
No, but Anne, you're right that this was badly needed. I really enjoyed this week's Dynamite. And now that I've seen all of these promos surrounding the Continental Classic, I'm like, oh, I begin to feel horny about everything that's happening. But it's true that we did watch quite a few matches that at the time it was like, and I can't to this. So, and just bleep that maybe, but
yeah, it's like this is a sports match for men who don't feel anything sexual about wrestling, and that's
nothing nice they can acknowledge. Them. Very no, least.
Nothing they can acknowledge.
Nothing certainly. They can acknowledge. Yeah, so this in the moment, of course, next week, I'll actually be able to feel immediately horny about quite a few more things, and that is really pleasing, but this was badly needed. Just for one man to drop to his knees in front of another man, having tried to trick and manipulate him, but the other man didn't fall for it, but they are still going to fight in Montreal. And then the segment ended with Adam Copeland being like, oh, by the way, I forgot to say, go fuck yourself, which is what Christian said to him when he showed up. And it's just like, woof.
And the fact and that whoever that was on the bleep did was slow.
It was very slow, yeah.
Very good.
They really bleeped whatever came after that pretty thoroughly, yeah.
It's funny because Adam Copeland is not to blame for that. Like, he gave them a lot of setup. It was really clear what was going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And honestly, I'm like, yeah, Tony, you deserve to pay that fine. You've really annoyed me this year, so I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah. That's a gift from us to you. Okay, let's talk about just a quick check-in on what I, for some reason, called the boy zone, which I honestly don't know why I typed it, which is that little baby Dante Martin is finally back. So he and Darius and Action Andretti fought the Hardy Boys and Isaiah Cassidy on Dynamite. This was a great match. This was a really fun match.
It was a really good match. Yeah. Like, I just really was so happy to see them. I was just beaming at them and being like, and those are my friends, and they're back.
Yeah. Those are my sweet boys.
I was super happy to see them. I was like, oh, thank God. Like, I'm so glad they're back. But I was also like, this feels like kind of small time to me, and I'm not like as excited as I would have thought. But then I was like, it's because subconsciously you don't expect them to stay uninjured at the same time for more than 2 weeks.
that's right.
For once, it's not Tony Khan's fault, you know? That's just life. But
no.
It's like,
This one's on the Martin brothers, and at one point in this match, they did a move that I think might not even have been like especially dangerous, but I really was like, everybody be fucking careful right now. You are holding Dante Martin in your hand. Be fucking careful. We could lose him again.
I can't believe they showed that broken ankle again.
It's crazy.
Like, I know Excalibur really hammered home the warning, but it was so far out of my mind that they would ever do that, that I just stared right at it. I was like, so I saw it again. It was horrible.
Yeah.
I comically, as if I was in a TV show, comically looked at the ceiling, like waited for it to be over. Like, he was like, look away. And I was like, I will.
I was like, what do you mean, Excalibur? What are we? What are we not supposed to see? Oh, God.
You went a little more of a Looney Tunes route there.
A little more.
Yeah, it was crazy. I don't know. The only thing that I thought of, I was like, why are they showing this? And I was like, oh, maybe Dante thinks it's really cool. And he was like, show it on TV. That's the only thing I came up with.
I do think that there's a huge chance that, like, gross boys are very, like, proud of their injuries. And they're like, look at it.
Absolutely.
Look at
it.
It's fine to show it now that, right. Now that he's healed, it's fine. No one
now that he's healed.
I've seen that gif of Chuck Taylor like completely fucking his knee up like so many times. They're like bending inside out.
Have I ever seen it?
I don't know.
Oh my God, find it for me.
I know you have, because where would I have seen it that you didn't see it? But
I don't know, but find it for me so I can look at it again. I miss him. I forget what he looks like.
He's never going to be out of that boot. We've seen him for the last time.
Just it's like wear a that year from now, someone catches him doing something without the boot on, and it's just like, how long has your leg been fine? It's like, just almost the whole time. Almost the whole time.
Chris Pratt like, in the first season of Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Forged letters to Tony being like, I'm Dr. Knows a lot, and knee's still bad. Can't come to work.
He's still so bad. Dustin, call your moms. What was I going to say? Oh, and then after this match, so Top Flight and Action Andretti won, and afterwards, there was a great like little backstage segment where Penta came up and was like clearly was just like very cool work, and then set up a little match with Penta, Vikingo, and Commander, and that is going to fuck.
It's definitely going to be a kick-ass match, but Penta was low-key a crack-up during that thing where he was just
so
like,
funny.
He's so funny about the way he was like, one, two, three, boys, come here. One, two, three, crazy, could work.
It's called math and you can't argue with that.
So true. Penta's funny.
Whenever three men come into contact with three other men, everyone knows what has to happen.
Get in the ring. What else are they going to do? Play Pinocchio? Pinochle. Nope.
Pinochle?
I don't know.
Pinochle.
Got it. Okay. That is.
Don't you dare cut that.
That is going to be the cold open.
Cut it. No.
What did you say? Pinochle?
I don't know what I said. I was stressed out. I was under stress.
I think that I'm going to clip that and I'm going to save it like in multiple places so that like whenever I'm in a bad mood, I'll just hear Allie say, What else are we going to do? Play Pinochle?
Pinochle. I'm so stupid.
Oh, no, it was one of those charming things. You've only ever seen it written down.
Why your brain did made God make that. Me this way?
I think at that moment, like, luckily I wasn't the one who decided to try to say it because I don't think I'd ever connected that the word spelled Pinochle is the game that I have heard said as Pinochle. I didn't know those were the same, I don't think.
We all learned something tonight.
It's like the word segue, which I had heard, but like you also see it in music a lot. And so like I just thought they were two separate words. There was seek and segue.
Yeah.
My best friend found that out 2 years ago and she is 50 years old. And she was telling a story and she was like, well, that segs into this. And I was like, and she started talking and I was like, can we just back up a second? And she was like, what? And I was like, it's sick. And she was like, yeah, we're going to a new topic. And I was like, segue? And she was like, and that's a little two-wheel vehicle. And I was
like, unfortunately, I do know that it's segue, but I also for many, many years didn't. And I still say it seg when I'm reading in my head. Like, it's just like, yeah, that segs into that. So it is so hard to speak. Anything else you want to say about the Boyzone? Or the Boyzone?
The title of this episode is going to be Pinochle. Hopefully that.
Pinochle. Okay, let's move on to talking about MJF. So MJF came out on Dynamite and cut a promo on Samoa Joe. There was a pretty, I would say a pretty classic MJF promo in which he really built Samoa Joe up as like, you know, someone that he grew up watching and looking up to and blah, 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 but he's still going to fight him, blah, 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 blah. And eventually he got interrupted by kind of a blackout strobe light session during which the Devil's henchmen came to the ring and attacked MJF. Samoa Joe ran out to save him. And then we immediately got a Devil video. So we saw the Devil's face. I mean, not his, you know, his mask that belongs to MJF. And then he typed a message reading, "In the shadows, our game begins." It really seemed like this was going to rhyme at this point. So I kind of liked that, but it didn't. "Next week, MJF and Samoa Joe, will you face the unknown in a tag match? Are you a hero, Max?" Okay. MJF accepted the match. Samoa Joe kind of looked like, "I don't think it's a good idea." And MJF told him, "Just show up." What did you think about, let's start with, what did you think about the promo?
He did a very good job of putting Samoa Joe over, but there is a very funny thing that wrestlers sometimes do where they're like, and he's not shaped like a steroid guy, so he walks around and he's allowed to exist as a human being even though he's not shaped like a Dorito, and I think that's brave. It's just so brave. It's like,
he doesn't look like everybody else. It's like, well, he's actually got a pretty normal body, so pretty normal. I don't know that we had to get into it.
He's got a strong man body. Like, it's clear when I see Samoa Joe, I'm like, that man could bench press me. Like,
yeah.
It's fine.
Well, I feel like, too, it's like WWE clearly has a much more, like, stringent, like, appearance thing. But then guys come into AEW, which has a much wider variety of bodies. And then they're like, it's crazy that I'm a wrestler. And you're like, well, actually, there's, like, 10 guys that look like you here. So, like, I don't know. Maybe we could calm down about it.
Chill.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I really appreciate when MJF puts someone over like this, but I feel like with him more than some other people, like, I see the seams a lot more. Like, it's more
yes.
Like, okay, MJF is working really hard to put him over. Whereas when Mox does it, I usually like don't notice until afterwards. And then I'm like, oh, he made him seem really strong and powerful, but it felt natural as an aggressive promo, where I think MJF just quite hasn't quite gotten there yet.
I really agree. And I think this was an especially egregious is such a mean word, and I don't mean it that meanly because I didn't mind this promo, but this was an especially blatant example where I was like, okay, you're going to fight him though. So let's maybe just, if we just frame it a little bit differently, that's not like, Samoa Joe's one of the best guys that you'll ever meet and everybody respects him and he's just the best at what he does, and what are you going to do about that? He probably does deserve this belt. I should probably just give him the belt pretty much, but I won't. We're going to fight for it, but if he asked really nicely, maybe I would because he's such a good guy. It was like, okay, yeah, let's just calm down a little bit. Yeah, I do think that's something that, like, he has, and we've said it before, like, he clearly has made a big push to be like, I'm trying to put my opponents over, but just look into some different ways of doing it, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did you guys think about the Devil attack?
I mean, well, when the lights went off, I was like, oh my God, are you serious? Because I thought it might be House of Black. So at least it wasn't House of Black.
Oh my God. Imagine that would be like it would be a pivot, but not a productive one. If Tony's like, oh, they want to see MJF do something different, House of Black is going out.
MJF is actually going to win the trio's belts with Samoa Joe and Adam Cole, and then he's going to defend them with two other random people.
You may have hit on a little idea here. It's called MJF Shoots the Moon. MJF wins every bout.
And then by shooting the moon, he wins and can't be on TV again for a year.
So I guess when I say shoot the moon, it's like, I guess that implies that the belts are bad, which is kind of true. A belt has never made someone a better person. So,
no. Very true. Yeah, I wish they would just go ahead and, like, reveal the Devil stuff, because it's been going on so long that now it's annoying me. So,
yeah.
That's not great.
Yeah, they've hit a point where, like, I don't think that there's anything that they can do that I'm going to be like, oh my God, that was so well done. Because either it's Jungle Boy, which is what they should do, but now we've been saying it so long that, like, it feels expected, or it's going to be Adam Cole, which I think is going to annoy me. especially if he's not healed. And like, there's, I don't know. I just, whatever. I want it to be Kyle.
Oh my God.
It was Kyle. I that would be the one Kyle. Way to shock and delight me for sure.
If it were Kyle, I mean, I would just burst into happy tears. Like, it's like, Tony, do you want to earn a year's worth of goodwill from me? Let little Kyle's white little rat face appear from under that mask. It's going to be an Omega Surge for you, Tony, if you do that for me.
An Omega Surge.
Omicron.
Omicron Surge.
Girl, do you want to start this podcast not call you out. Over?
Let's reel it back.
Let's just start with this off.
I really don't think I've done a great job tonight, if I'm honest with my friends.
Okay. You're doing great.
I think you're doing an amazing job.
Thank you, and I also, do you too.
I feel so unenthused for MJF and Samojo to tag again. Oh. I don't think it should
don't
be
Don't want to see it.
No.
And that, now, is that going to be against men whose faces we can see, or are they going to be wearing like luchador devil masks or something? What do you think?
Honestly, who could know? Who could know what they're going to do? I like, what if it just becomes a thing where like it's like 2 years from now where I'm like, surely they're going to tell us who the devil is?
Oh, God.
And that really is just like, that's like Game of Thrones, right? Where they're like, we can't decide who wins the Game of Thrones. We're not sure who wins the Game of Thrones, actually. We don't know who the devil is. I do keep thinking about that George R. Martin, like, quote that he gave where he was like, you need to know what the solution to your mystery is, and then you need to write it in an interesting way, and you should never change the solution, because it is good to have a mystery that people can solve.
Yeah,
they should be able to. It's okay if people can solve it. And I keep thinking about that, where I'm like, Tony, I just hope you did know when you started this, and I'm not sure you did, and I think you might change it because you're worried, and I don't think that you've done a lot to like build clues that you could go back and be like, yes, it's, you did a really good job. Yeah. It's kind of a sloppy mess, but it's okay. MJF is injured to the best of our knowledge, I believe from his own mouth. Oh yeah. He said it when he came out, but he also tweeted something about it.
I'm so stupid that I was like, his mouth is injured? I didn't hear about that. It was just his hip and his shoulder.
Yeah, he's been doing too much kissing. So he hurt his mouth. Yeah. She's got a really sore mouth, so he's not going to be able to fight it. Winter's world's end.
It's a debilitating injury.
Another wrestler lost to kissing.
My God. What I would not give to live in the timeline where some weeks it's like, why did we only watch like Jay Lethal fight the War Horsemen? That's the only thing that happened on Dynamite. And it's like, they're all afflicted with kissing. They've done too much kissing.
But don't worry, Jay Lethal didn't do any. Didn't do any.
His mouth is just fine. We went off the edge a little bit here, ladies. anything else you search? And the Omega is really surged.
I wish Kenny Omega had surged onto my screen.
I think it's actually illegal for me to see him. I think that's what I figured out, is that for some reason it's against the law for me to see members of the Elite. Consistently. Well,
guys, they just have really bad kissing disease. Their mouths are really sore and hurt from kissing. And so they actually can't come on TV.
Pretty messed up to want them to come up back and they're healed up from their kissing injuries. Yeah. Actually, you shouldn't want them to work hurt, Leah.
No. I'm sure. They should be allowed to heal up a little and then kiss some more and get hurt again and heal up a little more, and then they'll come back with clean, beautiful mouths.
Clean.
Unmarred mouths.
Unmarred
soft,
mouths.
Plush, unmarred mouths.
What is happening in this episode?
I don't know. Knuckle really just sent us over the edge. We were very sober in the first half.
I know. Like, the Continental Classic, I felt like we had somehow entered a real serious sports discussion realm. And now, in the back half of the episode, it's all coming out.
We're doing more sports entertainment now in the back half here. Yeah.
We've gone blue, for sure. The comedy is broad. Oh my God. Okay, so MJF and his sore mouth are going to fight Samoa Joe at World's End. His shoulder maybe is hanging on by a thread. He was walking with a cane that he snapped in half. He's hurt. Everyone said he's hurt. If we got to get this belt off this guy.
Yeah. Got to get it off. At least the ROH tag belts. Why are they still hanging on?
They've all got to go. Maybe he'll lose those to these little devil minions.
Please, God.
Whoever they may be.
Is it in Lord of the Rings when you throw the ring away, but then it like comes back to you? Or is there something else where you try to get rid of it?
You know, I know what you're talking about, but...
I think that's if you love somebody, Anne.
There's a cursed object that you can try to get rid of, and it keeps showing back up in your house.
No, I know what you talk about. I think there might have been an X-Files episode about it, actually. Oh, no, maybe not. Anyway. Maybe that was that other bad show I was watching. Well, what I do know about the One Ring is that I don't think it gets back to you, but it finds its way to someone. Like, it kind of calls people to it. And they come find it in the depths and strangle their friends and stuff. Why did that come up?
Well, anyway, I was just thinking the belts, they're like stuck to MJF like crazy.
Oh, yeah. That you can't throw them away. Yeah, that's true. Oh, it might have been the Goosebumps show on Hulu, I think, did this. Okay. Oh. Which I kind of recommend, actually. Justin Long is like pretty fun in it. Like, he's really, he's just a real freak.
Is he in all the episodes?
Yeah, he's the main character. In fact, he's kind of two main characters. Oh, that's a little tease.
I do enjoy Justin Long.
Check it out. He's fun. Okay, well, I think the only other thing that we had to talk about was Julia Hart, because, Leah, you had something you wanted to say about the house rules thing. And also Tony showed feet. It felt kind of right, given what we've been talking about. I thought I should throw in there at least that Timeless Tony did show feet.
I hope it's on that website, though. What is it? RateMyFeet.com.
Hot celeb. RateMyFeet.com. Hot celeb feet, I was going to say.
I was just going to say, I thought that the House of Black, like, trios thing with the house rules is so stupid because the rules that they chose were, like, moronic. But, like, I think Julia's doing a good job with it because, like, no submissions made sense for Emmy to choose because Julia does like a submission hold and then it forgot in the middle of the match and was, like, got her in a hold. And
yeah.
Aubrey had to be like, Like, I just thought that was a better use of it. And I'm like, is Julia better at being a member of the House of Black than any other member of the House of Black?
It's actually crazy how much better she is at it. It's like, she's the only one who does anything like interesting or sensical. That little cheerleader they missed it. She's gother than all of them.
So true.
And I did have a real moment during that. I thought she did pretty well in this match and I really liked it. And in the middle, I was suddenly like, wow, Julia, when Julia was a cheerleader, that gimmick kind of sucked. Like, it's like, I wasn't ragging on her about it, but it like wasn't cool. And we were, like, honestly, every week showing up being like, it just is a little demoralizing when they make those stupid girl jokes about Julia when she's on the sidelines. And it's like, she looks and is so cool now. Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
She went full dark art and it's paid off so well.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Great instincts. Good for you, Julia. Okay, well, that's all I got, I think. Is there anything that I missed that you guys really wanted to talk about?
No.
No.
No, it was fun. We got to watch Collision this week, girls.
We do.
We got to watch Collision this week.
And we should watch Rampage. Do you guys have, because OC and Greg are going to be on it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. With their best friends, Hook and Danhausen.
I can't believe Hook and Danhausen are allowed to stand next to each other again. Like, I thought Hook maybe would, you know, vaccinate them against Danhausen, but
I fucking wish.
Have you guys watched Being the Dark Order yet?
I haven't watched it yet. Is it good?
I haven't either because I can't bring my
heart. My heart is hurt.
I know. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm glad that the Dark Order's doing that. I think it's very smart. But, like, some part of my brain is just like, I can't do it. I can't.
I'm in mourning. We're in our Victorian widow's weeds.
You can't watch it for a full year. I think that's the...
I believe that's what... Books. Yeah.
Yeah.
That Emily sounds Post right.
would tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah, but we should... Do you guys have any fun plans this weekend?
No.
I guess I could wait. We could end the podcast and then I ask you about your plans. I was just thinking like, well, yeah, are we going to be watching Collision? Let's get into it.
We should be home. Yeah. So let's do it.
Thank
God. Okay. Well, from our colliders, from your favorite colliders to you, it's been Tunnel Talk.
We started Binochle.
Perfect. Perfect. That's the perfect end to this episode. That's insane.
Why was I trying to say it like from your lips to God's ears?
We've been doing this for 2.5 years.
From your broken mouth for
podcast professionals.
Some weeks it really it's not because of anything, but it's just like, what is happening? I'm recording. This is getting recorded. Someone's gonna hear this. I don't know about that, guys. Okay, we'll get it together. It has been Tunnel. Oh, I've been Allie.
I've been Tunnel Talk.
I've been Tunnel Talk this whole time. Let's see what's under this mask. It's been Tunnel Talk the whole time. Look, I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
This is Tunnel Talk, as I just said. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod, Tumblr Tunnel Talk Pod, via email tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe if you like what you heard tonight. And come back next week for more hot continental classic and mouth injury takes. What happened?
So funny.